I would not read the Bible if it wasn't God speaking. I wouldn't do it. If the Bible is just a little advice book to you, or if the Bible is just some tips and tricks on life, throw it out. Throw it away. If it's just an ancient story about God who once was, a long time ago, if it's just ancient history and that's it, throw it out. But if Genesis to Revelation is written by God himself, authored by the Holy Spirit, then we cannot exalt it too much. We cannot make too much of God's word if it really is his. Now, I had to start with that because today's Bible reading is hard to hear. Today's Bible reading is going to get personal to you. It's going to push on you. It's going to poke. It's going to be in your face, and we're not going to like it. But my prayer is that by the end, you will see the beauty in it. You will see how wonderful it is. So open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I was laying there yesterday in my couch, just feeling sorry for myself, moaning. Jesse left me all day to go hunt mushrooms. And I thought, if this happens, like, when I'm any older than I am now, I don't know if I'll make it through it. Like, 10 years from now, I don't know if I'll make it. Like, breathing was hard. Okay, today in Mark 10, we are going to use the D word, divorce. We're also going to talk about adultery as we talk about marriage. Does anybody else want to speak in my place right now? Well, let's start in Mark chapter 10, and we're going to go 1 through 12. Then Jesus left Capernaum and went down to the region of Judea and into the area east of the Jordan River. Once again, crowds gathered around him. As usual, he was teaching them. Some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife? Now, you remember what happened to John the Baptist. John the Baptist spoke against the king and said, it's not right for you to steal your brother's wife. And what happened to him? He got thrown in jail. Lost his head. And the Pharisees were hoping that this might happen to Jesus too. So they came to him, not curious about marriage and remarriage and divorce. They came to him trying to trap him. Verse 3, Jesus answered them with the question, because he always does. What did Moses say in the law about divorce? Well, he permitted it, they replied. He said a man can give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away. But Jesus responded, he wrote this commandment only as a concession to your hard heart. And then he goes back to the original design. Look at this. 6. But God made them male and female from the beginning of creation. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Look at verse 10. Later, when he was alone with his disciples in the house, they brought up the subject again. You don't say. He told them, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries someone else, she commits adultery. All right, I want to thank you guys for coming today. Let's pray. Well, let's hit these head on. First off, number one, marriage is beautiful. I know, you guys are, I've got all sorts of reasons to not think this. Marriage is beautiful. They are asking Jesus about divorce, and Jesus points them to the design. God's design is that a husband would lovingly and compassionately lead his wife. That's God's design. Relationally protecting and providing for her. That's God's design. And then the wife would willingly, here comes a swear word, submit to a loving, sacrificial husband, and that is a good design. Infinite wisdom came up with that. But then number two, marriage is beautiful. Sin jacks everything up. Your marriage would be perfect if it weren't for sin. Sinful man, not living according to design, uses his strength to domineer and to bully. And a sinful woman, according to Genesis 3, desires to control her husband, but he will rule over you. Don't you wish that were the case? That's part of the curse, because sin entered the world. So your marriage would be perfect if there were no sin. The only problem with a marriage is that two sinners are involved. Otherwise, it'd be awesome. If you want your marriage to become sweeter, you have to have this mindset. The biggest problem in my marriage is my sin, not my spouse's sin. That's hard. The first two humans on the planet got found out in sin and started blame shifting. The biggest problem in my marriage is my sin. Think how hard it is for you to even change yourself. And then we think we can do it with our spouse if we just convinced them enough. The healthiest marriages happen when both spouses radically pursue Jesus. The healthiest marriages happen when both spouses pursue Christ, because then you're putting to death your selfishness, not so you can get a reward at the end of the day. Wink, wink. Was that code enough? Okay. But because you love Christ. But because you do it onto a relationship with Him. We got to keep going through this. This could have been a 3-hour sermon. Number three, to just say it plainly, marriage is beautiful, sin jacks everything up, God hates divorce. Now, for some of you, when I just said that, you might hear that as a condemning statement. But just hang on. Malachi 2, 15 and 16. This is the last book in the Old Testament. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are His. And what does He want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. Now, it can't be any clearer. Verse 16. Because I hate divorce. Who says that? The Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of Heaven's army. So guard your heart and do not be unfaithful to your wife. That was the last prophet to speak in the Old Testament before Christ came. Love your wives. Now, you might be asking, why so severe on this? And it's because divorce is devastating. Divorce is devastating. If marriage is God's design, then divorce is destroying God's design. And here's something that I learned new this week for studying for this text, and it just made sense. Oftentimes we look at the Bible as just a rule book of like, oh, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. But this flips it on its head. Something I learned this week is that Jesus speaks so severe against divorce because marriage is so precious to Him. Now all of a sudden you have a different take on it because it's good. He doesn't want destroying things for you or your kids or your family just because it got hard. He values it. He values it. He protects it. It's a big deal to Him. Your marriage. When we vow on our wedding day, we are not vowing that I love you now. We are not vowing I really have nice, tender affections toward you today. When you vow on your wedding day, you are vowing I promise to love you then, in the future, when I don't feel like it, always and forever. And then something else made sense to me this week. Because marriage is so precious to God, Satan attacks marriage. Marriage is beautiful. Sin jacks everything up. God hates divorce, and Satan attacks marriage. He wants to pervert it. He wants to twist it. He wants to destroy it. Men, if you want to fight a spiritual battle that is only for the elite, love your wife and kids fiercely. It's more spiritual than you think. And then to encourage you, lastly, number five, marriage is hard. No amens? Yes, yes, Jesse, thank you. Just go hunt mushrooms. It's hard work. And get this, the phrase that God wants you to be happy is nowhere in the Bible. It's not. Oh, God wants me to be happy, and he knows my husband is a jerk. Nope. Restoring marriages takes work. You don't waste years and years damaging your marriage and then try to fix it in one date night. Men, before you get discouraged, let me tell you some truth. Women are responders. And if you sincerely humble yourself and begin to treasure and cherish your wife like you did when you were dating, over time, she will start to believe you again. Only the wives are smiling. The guys are like, great. Now I got an assignment. No, I'm serious. If you genuinely, sincerely humble yourself and treasure and cherish your wife again, she will start to believe you. And the relationship will be restored and God will be honored. And here's what I have to say. Yes, amen. I love the vocal. She was hooting at worship too. Love it. She's going to make a great wife someday. This is for the men. Fight for your marriage, because whatever sexual sin has to offer you, it is less pleasure, joy, happiness than what God offers in his design for marriage. I know, it's hard to even believe that. Whatever sin has to offer you, it is less than what God offers you in marriage. Hebrews 13:4. Give honor to the marriage bed. Remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge the people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. The marriage bed is special. It is unique. It is God's idea. He designed it, not us. He didn't think, Gabriel, watch this. Let me give man one of these. That'll surely mess things up. It's his design. He created it. He invented it. The marriage bed is like fire in a fireplace. According to its design, it warms the house. The whole family is blessed. It's soothing. It crackles. It's peaceful. But if that fire jumps outside the fireplace onto the carpet, things are burning down. And that's exactly what it's like with the marriage bed. So husbands and wives, believe that God's design is better than whatever sin has to offer you. Men, do not believe the lie that pornography will satisfy. And women, do not believe the lie that flirting emotionally with coworkers is the answer. Both of those things will only destroy what was so precious to God. I didn't even get a chance to get into Deuteronomy 24, where Moses permits divorce. Divorce is never recommended. It is only allowed because sinful men jack it up. And do you know what he says? He says, if you leave your wife and go marry someone else, you cannot go back to your first wife. Now, why would he say that? The only reason is because he didn't want you to go, man, this was hard. I'm going to go test this out for 6 months. Oh, actually, option number one was much better. It was to protect spouse hopping. I didn't even get into adultery and remarriage. But I want to end with this. Or I didn't get into the topic of abuse. If you are being abused by your spouse, tell me. We will not leave you alone in that. You are not to just endure a punching bag. Not to the happy pot. Bob Nolan. He's the one who amened earlier. Bob Nolan, he sits in the back right there, same spot every week, like all of you. But listen to him talk about his wife. I've never met anybody like it. He was married to Shirley 67 years. Now, high schoolers, get over your 6'7". But think about that. 67 years to his wife, Shirley, and he does not say, I just put up with her. He doesn't say, oh, we made it through it. We just kind of made it work. We survived. No, no. Talk to him. Don't run out today, Bob. You ain't got nowhere else to go. But he says it was precious. I'm crushed without her. And not one day goes by where I don't miss her. That's marriage according to what God designed it to be. And so don't run out today, Bob. Stand there as a living example, because all these other chumps are going, I don't believe it. And talk to Bob. Bob was a husband who loved his wife fiercely. Let's pray. God, would you help us to believe all that your word says? That you treasure and value marriage more than we could ever imagine. And may we put to death our own selfish sins that destroy our marriages, that harm our families. And we could never do that without your help. So we're asking that your Spirit would come in and restore damaged marriages, and that we would start to see that your design is infinitely better than anything else we could dream up. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.